the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. It's Friday, April 19th. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And we are in the thick of it.
Ooh. Yeah, it's been a couple of kind of blowout-y days.
Yeah, a couple sort of close-ish games.
But yeah, a couple of games that like kind of changed in the end who was blowing who out.
Yeah. I mean, that's always polite.
Yeah, it's very, very polite. You got to reciprocate.
Yeah. Got some, I don't know. Yeah, I was looking at the scores, and some of them are pretty large. I felt like some of them were closer when we were watching them, when I was watching them.
Yes, right? It feels closer when you're playing them, but then you look at the 30 points drubbing that the Raptors put on the Magic.
Yeah.
You know, and you think like, okay, well, that's a bit of a course correction, right?
Mm-hmm.
On Raptors Magic as a series.
Yeah. I guess I would say that it seems like a couple teams got like little mini wake-up calls.
Yes.
To sort of like...
Oh, the wake-up call is such a good way to put it. Because I feel like the Raptors, they woke up.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like the Celtics, they're awake.
Yeah.
Right? And I've
thoughts about that, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, it still doesn't feel like they played good.
No.
But it feels like the Raptors woke up. It feels like the Nuggets woke up a little bit in that insane fourth quarter they had.
Yeah.
I tweeted about it from our Twitter account.
Ah.
And I said, no one in the world is madder that Jamal Murray is 8 for 8 for 21 points in the fourth quarter than Chris.
Actually, I missed the game.
Ooh.
And then read that later, but all I had to do was wait a day or so. And regression to mean.
Back to life.
I believe that
to reality.
Actually, why don't we start with that game since we're talking about it?
Great.
I did not watch. I just watched highlights of these games. I will say, I believe without that fourth quarter, Jamal Murray is 10 for 37 in the series so far.
That is correct. He is not having a good series. He had one good quarter, and that led to one win, and they're still down 2-1.
Yeah.
You know who is having a good series?
Derek White.
Derek White.
Who is this guy?
Derek White, a late round, first round draft pick of the Spurs. You know, he's good and he's playing well. He's a defensive beast.
He's playing great.
And guess what? He just unlocked an offensive game in game three that like turned it out. I was like, this is insane. I mean, I watched a lot of the game on Tuesday. So I got to see the Nuggets comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it didn't feel like anything was happening in that Nuggets game other than the Spurs were missing shots that they could have been making until the end when Jamal Murray was like, okay, well, now I'm going to just lock this one down.
Yeah.
I mean, they won that game by 9 points and they were down most of the game. So it was a pretty big one. But, you know, you look at the shot chart from Derek White's game and he's just everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? He's at the rim. He's shooting threes. I mean, he's playing defense. It's crazy. If the Spurs are going to make a run in the playoffs, they need people other than DeMar and LaMarcus to step up. And
yeah.
I think they have gotten that so far in the first three games.
They're so good at just finding people.
Yeah.
I would say that if I wanted my playoff chances to be as good as possible, I would rather be the team that is sort of like ahead a lot in these games than the team that is the we have a few different teams in the playoffs so far that are like have pulled off comebacks.
Yeah.
The thing is like you'd rather be the team that sort of consistently gets ahead.
Yeah.
That in general our ways of our strategy, our personnel gets us a 10 to say 31 point lead.
Yeah.
You'd rather be that team.
Yes.
And I feel like the Spurs seem to, they have kind of been in the driver's seat for the series, really.
Yeah.
So there was a, like that fourth quarter basically feels like, especially in light of game three, feels like an aberration.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, it very easily could be Spurs up 3-0.
It very easily could be. And, you know, I don't think anybody thought that the Nuggets would just sit down and get rolled over.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know I picked the Spurs to win, but I don't think that I think that the Spurs have even gone beyond my expectations on this first round.
Yes, and I don't so having watched the games, is it how much of it is the Spurs exceeding their expectations, and how are the Nuggets playing versus what you thought they would play?
So I feel like in game one they definitely were the Nuggets were timid. They felt like a timid team throughout most of the game until they kind of came back to make it close in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
In game two, I felt that same kind of level in the first half from them. And then they went on one of those, you know, that fourth quarter run that they had. Truly just, it felt like everything was going right. It felt like the entire stadium was rocking, and they were able to like live up to like the kind of games that they had in the regular season where Jokic was just throwing the ball around. He was making shots. He wasn't afraid to take them. And all the shots that they were like missing and giving up their possession on were going in instead. And so mm-hmm. in game three, it felt like the Spurs at home were just like, all right, we're here now. You can't beat us here. And that right. to me seems like something that Denver's going to have to show up for game four in a way different way than they did for game three.
Now, having only really seen the box score, why does Jamal Murray only have six attempts and only scored 6 points? Like, 6 points is obviously not good, but like, why does he only have six attempts?
Truly, I think it's because Derek White was so on point.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's crazy because Denver shot almost 52% in game three. They just didn't, like, a lot of the players didn't shoot that much.
Yeah.
Will Barton only took six shots. Millsap only took seven.
Yeah.
Jamal Murray took six. Like, I don't know. We are seeing the clashes of these teams that have a lot of distributed scoring.
Yeah.
Versus the, you know, the Westbrook George, like, alpha male hero ball teams.
I mean, part of it is, you know, the free throw disparity. You know, you look at the fouls in the game.
Yeah. And so and do you feel that was a fair shake, or was it?
I mean, I feel like Denver played passively in a way that they didn't. You know, like I don't think that the refs were like out to get the Nuggets. I think that the game was kind of called decently.
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just didn't. It felt like, you know, the Derek White show. Honestly, like. In the game, he was a plus 30 when he played,
mm-hmm.
right? And they won by 10. So that doesn't mean that there weren't units for the Nuggets that didn't play well. Like, there's people on the Nuggets, somebody whose name is Torrey, well, I guess it's the guys from the bench.
Yeah.
The bench guys. And they, like, the bench unit for Denver played well, and the bench units for San Antonio didn't. So when Derek White and the starters were in, the Spurs just wrecked them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that kind of goes hand in hand with Murray having a bad passive game. You know, anytime you take six shots, you're passive.
Yeah.
You're waiting. You're trying to let the game come to you instead of
going the game in. Just never did. The
game never did.
Well, obviously I'm happy. Jamal Murray sucks.
Yeah. Take that.
Let's go to another Tuesday. All the Tuesday games were your games.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you watch Raptors Magic?
I watched the last, like, third and fourth quarter of Raptors Magic, and it was already over by then. The Raptors just really, they took care of business, and Kawhi Leonard was like, I'm not going to let what happened in game one happen again.
Yeah,
I'm going to take this game over.
You could argue that this is why you bring Kawhi to the team.
Yes.
Because it's like, this is playoff Kawhi.
Yeah. Kyle Lowry now averaging 11 points per game in the series.
Good for him. He had a much better game, though.
Yes, he did.
It's
probably because he practiced. He was practicing before the game.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt. Danny Green with the bagel.
You know what? I'll take a Danny Green bagel.
Now, Danny Green has been playing better with the Raptors than certainly you thought.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's been.
I do remember you saying he was bad at basketball.
I have said that. And hey, you know what? I've been wrong about things before. I'll be wrong about things again. And Danny Green is one of those people who has proven me wrong. And right. He was a 0 for the game, but they won by so much it didn't even matter.
Yeah. Jeremy Lin got in the game.
Jeremy Lin.
For 3 minutes.
Jeremy Lin.
You could probably. I wonder if you could just see which games the Raptors have won just by like. Seeing if Jeremy got into the game.
Not in the playoffs, yes. In the regular season. Yeah. No. He played like 10 to 15 minutes.
I know we previously discussed it, but Jody Meeks is still in the league.
And he is playing.
Yeah, he is playing more than Jeremy Lin. Jody Meeks, a player that I enjoyed to a degree with the Lakers when he played with the Lakers. Very good shooter.
Yeah.
Cannot finish at the rim.
Okay.
Like, I just remember like insanely laughable layup attempts. But so it seems like hopefully here's the thing about these wake up calls is will they stick or not? The Nuggets wake up call didn't stick. You know, hopefully the Raptors will kind of round into form. I will say that being the playoff basketball is a real opportunity to be a prisoner of the moment.
Yeah.
And to feel like Kawhi scored 37. Like now we're on track, you know.
Yeah, you got to keep it up.
And then, I mean, as fans,
yeah,
for us to be like, oh, the series has really swung in the other direction now. And it's like they still lost one at home.
Yeah.
Like, that's not good.
And I mean, I think as you can tell with miniseries, you know, big swings in either direction can happen.
Yeah.
Right? And I think, you know, the differences, right? You know, they always say point differential is a better predictor of success than wins and losses, right? And the Magic won by... what, 3 points?
Yeah, I think in these sample sizes, though, it's so
tough. I mean, but you know,
especially when a coach is like, forget it, let's rest our guys for next time.
Yeah, a little bit. I definitely think that, you know, the way this series is going to go, I think that we're going to get one more win from the Magic, and then, you know, it'll be over.
Thunder Blazers.
I watched,
this is the Dame Lillard fuck you game.
I watched all of that game, and Dame Lillard said fuck you. But you know who else said fuck you? CJ fucking McCollum.
Uh-huh.
CJ McCollum had himself a game. This game...
he said, fuck you, my podcast isn't boring.
Yeah! It's the fuck you... Chris Grace.
His podcast is boring.
Okay. Yeah, this game was fun. And one of my favorite things from this game was the Steven Adams set a really, really hard screen on Damian Lillard. And the two had words about it.
Uh-huh.
But it was while someone was taking a free throw at the other end.
Uh-huh.
Right. So they were just talking. Right. And Steven Adams is not going to be like somebody who's going to like try to make nice with him. But he was like, man, I set a hard screen on you, but I just stood still. I'm just bigger than you.
Uh-huh.
And Dame was mad, but he was like, okay, all right, I see. And Stephen Adams is like, your teammates didn't call it out for you.
Uh-huh.
What is going, like, why would you blame me? I'm just big. I'm supposed to block you. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Stop being a dickhead.
Right.
It was pretty funny.
Did it seem like a reasonable discussion?
It seemed very reasonable. And the refs were like, why are you talking to each other? It's like, hey, we're just talking. Let us talk. We're talking.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know if I would... there are very few pairings that I would be more interested in seeing, like what actually they were talking about than those two. Like, that's such an interesting pairing of people.
More interesting than the, like, fake Kevin Durant, LeBron conversation.
And this wasn't even trash talking, because trash talking is fun, but I really don't care about the participants unless it's, like, a really good trash talker.
Yeah.
This was, like, a conversation about basketball and about, like, hey, what you did was wrong, or like, hey, man, it wasn't wrong. Like, I want to hear that talk about basketball. I wish they were wired up. I would love to have heard that.
Yes. Spoiler, there's a similar conversation between Kevin Durant and Jermichael Green in the Clippers game. Like, there, it really just seemed like them talking about what had just happened.
Hey, man, this is what I did. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I read on Twitter that the league is likely to rescind They have rescinded. Likely and has happened.
So,
boom, I didn't catch up on my Twitter before I got
here. So just to skip, just jump for this little detail, Kevin Durant does not have three technicals.
No, he's still only got two.
But
the game, CJ McCollum led the team in scoring, but it really felt like Damian Lillard put the game away.
Yeah.
And the game wasn't close. There was no, like, basically at halftime it was fine, and then in the third quarter, Dame was just like, it's done. It's over. And you know who had a really, really, real bad game?
Well, I was about to ask you, how are you feeling about Russell Westbrook these days?
He didn't have a good game. I think he had a better game in the game on...
in game one?
Game one. I think he had a better game. This game was not good. He didn't play well, and he took credit for it, you know, in the press conference after the game. he was like, this one's on me. I played terribly and I got to play better. And I do trust that he can and will play better.
Uh-huh.
But right now, down 2-0, is that going to be enough? Are they going to be able to win 4 and 5?
They have a pretty good home court, right? I think they have a
pretty good home court.
You're wearing an Oklahoma City Thunder jersey today. I'm wearing an Oklahoma City
Durant jersey. 35.
Easy
money.
Yeah, so, I mean, they'll definitely get one at home. Hopefully. Yeah.
I mean, you hope, right? I mean, because they've got this team, and all year, you know, they've been like, we want to be a contender. We want to be a team. They put money into this team. You know, they're a team that they're like, we need to win now. We're a win now team. And win now teams don't get swept out of the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Win now teams don't lose in the first round of the playoffs, but the Thunder are at risk of doing both of those.
Yeah. How was Paul George?
Paul George had a better game and he played better too. And that was part of it. You know, if you look at Paul George's plus minus, and I know, you know, single game, he had the best plus minus out of all the starters and he played the most minutes. He played 41 minutes. So in the 7 minutes that he didn't play, they played them about even, they played them up 9 points. Just doing my math, but everybody else was even worse.
Yeah.
Right. So,
well, good luck to, the Thunder.
Yeah.
I don't really like, I mean, Russell Westbrook rubs me the wrong way generally, so I don't mind seeing him lose.
Yeah.
What was their rebound hunting as people talked about on Twitter? I didn't see the game. People were acting like Russell Westbrook was really hunting for that 10th rebound at the end of that game.
I mean, yes, but what else is new? I mean, he's Russ. That's how he's going to play.
I know,
he's going
to hunt just those weird rebounds. Do it in a playoff game, I guess. Or how about like it rubs people in a different way?
Yeah,
because it's similar to Joel Embiid looking at a cell phone on the sideline.
Yeah,
which may or may not be a big deal, but you know,
mostly I just can't bring myself to care about it because somebody's going to get those rebounds.
Oh, I definitely care about if there is a like concerted effort to shield off rebounds so that he can get them versus other people on the team. I actually do think that's a problem because I think that the bounce of the ball, I guarantee that over the course of a regular season, I bet there's been 5 to 10 times that like awareness of like, he's got to get the rebound and not me. I'm not going to grab it. Let him grab it. Someone else got their hand in there and got an offensive rebound. Like, because of this, you know, you're cutting off a big man's instincts to like get the rebound.
So big men do have an instinct to get the rebound. However, sometimes it's better for them to box somebody out, right? There are times when it's like, yes, he's hunting. But there are other times when, you know, like you think about Brooke Lopez, right?
Yeah.
And he's a big man who has a very low rebound rate.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk to his teammates, you talk to his team, and you look at their team rebounding stats, and the rebounding stats are still very high when he's on the court, right? If the big is blocking somebody else from getting the rebound, it could be easier for the little to get it.
I think the boxing out is great. However, there have been a fair amount of examples of kind of unnatural rebounding
their part. Like I said, it's not a go for it. It just doesn't bother me.
But all that has to happen is in one playoff game that they do that and, you know, Damian Lillard doesn't run down the court,
yeah,
gets a rebound and like offensive rebound and puts it back in a close game. And then that's like, you've lost a game. Like, it's very possible.
Yeah, that could happen. But what if that's the only way they know how to rebound? You know, they've been practicing all year, get Russ rebounds.
Yeah, and that's the problem with it.
And, you know, maybe they're better at that than they are at getting the big man the rebound. Maybe Steven Adams secretly has the worst hands in the league.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Steven Adams doesn't seem... Like, Steven Adams doesn't seem to mind necessarily. I'm just saying that this is one of those... cliche, like, you're offending the basketball gods kind of arguments.
Yes. And, you know, I think that in general, if they have a scheme, they should stick to it. But if the scheme is just get Russ rebounds,
that's the problem is if the scheme is get Russ rebounds versus get rebounds, then you have a you've got a weakness in your system that might never show up and might not ever be a problem.
Yeah.
It's just when you watch clips of them doing it, it's like, oh, there's something going on. Like, it doesn't look right. A guy's like deferring to someone else. And there will be a time when someone defers or miscommunicates, and some very, like, I mean, that, not to go 2 weeks in a row to compliment Chris Paul, but that is something Chris Paul would do, is like anticipate that deferral and steal a rebound and like, you know, then throw the ball out of bounds.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Chris Paul fan cast with Chris George and Casey Lawrence. Chris Paul fan cast. It's the place where you go for Chris Paul compliments and Chris Paul love, highlights of Chris Paul's amazing commercials, fantastic social media posts and banana boat highlights, hijinks and pranks. Chris Paul.
Trivia in the State Farm ads. Anyone who says they're a State Farm person has to actually be an employee of State Farm. Because I did a State Farm commercial and they had to like fly in agents from like Missouri. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think that in the culture of that company, it's almost like a perk for like veterans of the.
So what about Oscar Munoz?
Yeah, he's an actor.
Oscar Nunez.
I wonder if he's ever genuinely presented as a State Farm agent, or he's just presented as, I'm Oscar and I represent State Farm.
No, he has a name. His name is like Cole.
Oh, he's not playing. Well, back when I did it, it was all real people. Also, then one time,
maybe all the other people are real people.
One time when I did a Nike commercial, I got an email saying that no one could wear anything but Nike.
Yeah.
And I thought that was silly. I didn't defy it. I wore Nike shoes, but it was just like, you know, you're a multi-million dollar company. Like, you guys can handle seeing a Reebok every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredibly clear that that's just, you know, we get it, right?
Yeah.
Nike's never going to acknowledge the existence of any other apparel company.
Yeah. I would almost say, you know, similar to Russell's rebounds, not really, but it might weaken your company over time to always exist in a world where like Under Armour doesn't, like Under Armour isn't popular.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, clearly no one really likes Under Armour. We never see people wearing it.
Yeah.
Side note, I got my DJ Khaled Jordans.
Ooh, the ones from China.
I found out less than I thought. I paid $35 for these.
Awesome.
Retail price, $20,000.
Yes.
They're definitely a knockoff.
How do they look?
They look great. I don't have them with me, but they look great. They're very comfortable.
We promise you that when we promote this post on social media, we're getting a picture of those shoes.
I will send you one over in a bit. Okay. I think we're done with those Tuesday games.
Yes. Now we got to roll through Wednesday.
Talk to me.
Pacers-Celtics
was one of those games that was like, it's interesting how the narratives form versus watching the game. Because the narrative, I went back and watched this game. The narrative was like, Kyrie goes crazy, leads Celtics back from a deficit, you know, a comeback, and they just sort of like, he turned it on and blew them out. Similar to the Jazz, was it the Jazz Rockets or was it the Pacers game? What was the game the other day I was talking about, like, all those things? Oh, it was Pacers.
Yeah.
Same thing with Pacers. I just think maybe they're just not that good at shooting.
Yeah.
Because they were ahead by, like, 12. They were ahead at, like, a fair amount of times deep into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And honestly, they got good shots that just didn't go in. They got, like, little baby hooks. Bogdanovich got some pretty open shots. Wes Matthews got some open shots. And there were shots that just like hit the rim five times before just barely falling out.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's a good look. Like, that's not Celtics defense. Like, that was a good thing. And that happened for like a drought.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know.
You know who's pretty decent at shooting?
Who?
Victor Oladipo.
I know. They really do miss Victor Oladipo because they are really, as a team, scrapping and fighting and putting themselves in a position to have a guy like Victor Oladipo take them over the hill.
Yeah.
I like this series so far because it's very scrappy. So I appreciate that. The defenses are good. And they're scrappy. Like, I like that a lot. And Marcus Smart's not even playing.
No.
I think that I wish that Tyreke Evans was the Tyreke Evans of old.
Yeah.
because that would make a huge difference. He could be that guy. He's not quite. And I wish, is this one Bogdan or Bojan?
Bojan.
Bojan.
Bogdan is in Sacramento.
Bojan Bogdanovic. I wish he was a little bit better to match his attitude, because I love his attitude and I love that he thinks he is the best player in the game. And he is probably one of the best Pacers offensive game players, but yeah. He's not as good as he thinks he is.
Yeah. Do you wish you were a little bit taller?
A little, I wish he was a baller.
Yeah.
A little bit taller.
Yeah.
And if he had a girl, he would call her.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I do wish that. But he can't because he's too short.
Too short.
No, I could see he gets a little bit of hero ball mentality.
Yeah.
Which I think that on that team currently is probably coming from a good place, because it's probably coming from like somebody's got to do it.
Miles Turner's not going to do this shit.
But he gets a little tunnel visioned. You can feel like, I mean, even back in the day with Kobe,
yeah,
there were possessions where you're like, he's going to shoot this. Like from second one of the shot clock, you're like, Kobe's shooting this.
It's Kobe time.
You can feel that a little bit with Bogdanovich sometimes, and it doesn't always work out. And it's also, for a smart defensive team like the Celtics, it makes it too easy for them to key in on
him. Got a funny thing on the ESPN box score.
Uh-huh.
It says that Victor Oladipo was a minus one in this game.
How's that possible?
I don't fucking know. I think some data entry got in a little incorrectly.
This is like in Dota 2 when you don't draft on time and you start losing gold. 2 gold per second while you wait to draft.
You got to draft quicker.
And last night, somebody waited so long that the game random picks for them.
And they just random picked an injured player.
They random picked Oladipo and they fell behind from the start. I think the Pacers can still win a game in, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they won both games at whatever their place is called. Raceway Coliseum.
The Indianapolis 500. The racetrack.
Yes.
Bankers Life Fieldhouse, I think is what it's called.
Now, for the Celtics, I don't think they're going to go super deep in these playoffs.
Yeah.
It's great to have Kyrie, and Kyrie's like a top whatever player. He really is.
Yeah.
I don't think that's enough against serious teams. And they're getting some from Tatum. But like, they're just, they can't. Like, they're going to look like the Pacers against some better team at some point.
Yeah.
On the offensive side.
Yeah. You mean like, I don't know if you have anything more to say about this game.
No.
you mean like against the Bucks in the next round?
Yeah.
Holy moly, this series should be cut and just like, you know, forfeited. Send this one to the next round.
There's a few series. I already feel, and I know this is terrible, I already feel that malaise of like, let's just get to the second round. Okay, let's talk.
Let me just like give one thing about Bucks Pistons.
Sure.
The leading scorer for the Bucks was Eric Bledsoe.
Oh boy.
And the leading scorer for the Pistons was Luke Kennard.
Well, that's a Kennard Luke if I've ever heard
Kennard.
One. That's not good.
No, it's bad. And so like, it was just such a Milwaukee game, right?
Uh-huh.
It was just like close until halftime, and then in the second half they were like, oh, we're the Bucks. Don't fuck with us.
Uh-huh.
It was great.
So you're mentally kind of done with the series.
I'm mentally done with the series. I may not watch another game in this series because there are only going to be two left.
Well, you watch. How about this? You'll probably watch another one if the Pistons happen to win one somehow.
Yes.
Like, basically, they need to win one to make it a series again.
All right, listeners, I'm pledging you, if the Pistons watch, or if the Pistons win another game in the series, I will watch the games.
Speaking of blowouts, Jazz Rockets.
Ooh, this is another series that's like, it feels over because Jazz have not put up any resistance. I know we don't have any Jazz games at home, but still.
What do you mean you don't have Jazz games at home?
We have not played any Jazz
games. Oh, I thought you were like, they won't be playing any Jazz games at home.
No, every game is in Houston. Weirdly, it's the Chris Paul effect.
Rockets got this weird home court advantage where they play all 7 games at home. I believe I picked the Jazz to win this.
Yes.
I overestimated Donovan Mitchell's ability to impact a playoff game. And I mean, he has 11 points in game two.
That's let me just throw it out there. Not great, Bob.
Not good. And I don't know what Joe Ingles is doing.
No.
So that's what I hate the most is trash talkers who then don't. You don't even have to succeed. Like, Patrick Beverley is, they're going to lose that series.
Yeah.
But he never stops woofing and he never stops trying. But, like, I don't know what's going on with these dudes. I'd be pissed if I was Rudy Gobert, honestly.
Yeah.
I'd just be like, fuckers, like, I'm having to deal with Harden in this all gimmick defense that we're doing. And you guys are like, you're...
Hey, it worked for Milwaukee for one game, so it's going to work for us.
Milwaukee, it worked for two games.
Works for Milwaukee for two games, and it worked for the Jazz for zero games.
Well, so it also is more difficult when I would argue that probably Bledsoe is a better defender than Ricky Rubio.
Okay.
Probably, or at least...
He is better, but you know they're not like worlds apart.
Well, Bledsoe is probably stronger.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's elements of the like, let me sit on your left hand kind of thing.
Yeah.
And
you got to carry me like those magic guys.
It's just how's so like what?
Like, you know, like in like those the magic trick where the guy's got a rod all through his cape.
Oh, that's the way it always works.
Yeah.
It's funny that is almost never how it works, and then sometimes it is. Every fake method in magic, it is almost never that. Like, so when people are like, he must have some kind of transmitter, an electronic thing, or he must have like a tube that 99.999% of the time, it's that the thing you think happened two beats before and you didn't realize it.
Yeah.
And then the 0.001% of the time is like, oh, he bought a $3,000 electronic transmitter.
Yeah.
And that's how that trick is done.
Yeah.
And then in the next trick, it's just a deck that is all the five of clubs.
Yeah.
So again, put me in the club of glad I'm not a Jazz fan.
Yeah.
It would be frustrating to be a Pacers fan, but those guys are basically, honestly, they're playing about it. Like they're just outmanned.
Yeah.
Which is a lot saying that you're outmanned offensively by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
But they are, and they're trying. Like, so I would be sad that we're losing. Clippers, too. Like, I'd be sad we're losing. But, like, I don't feel like the team's not playing to their aggression and their potential stuff. The Jazz, I feel like, have not shown up in this series at all.
Yeah, and that I think, is the most disappointing thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's so frustrating.
Yeah.
You probably feel that way about if you're a Nuggets fan, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Thursday games?
Yeah, we got Sixers-Nets.
So obviously, first of all, I didn't hear until late last night, early this morning, the insane Jared Dudley quote where he said that you heard this quote.
I did hear the quote, but I read it and then I read the whole quote and I was like, that's not insane. He's just trying to describe how you stop Ben Simmons or what their plan is to stop Ben Simmons.
Which is not the insane part. They'd rather have him play in the half court than in transition.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally true, but to phrase it as Ben Simmons is great in transition, but in the half court, he's just average, is at least in playoff times, an insanely dumb thing to say in public.
Yeah, I mean, especially because Ben Simmons went out there and took it to heart and shot 11 for 13.
He scored 31 points.
Yeah.
And Jared Dudley scored zero. Jared Dudley, at one point, who I got into a Twitter conversation with because ESPN's defensive RPM listed him as a better defender than Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You're going to wear that on your sleeve till you die because you hate ESPN DRM.
Oh, I think it's really stupid. But what I thought was hilarious was Jared Dudley, instead of saying, because he's very active on social media, instead of saying, haha, you're right, it's this very silly stat and we still haven't found the best metric, you know, instead of being a savvy veteran, he actually tried to like justify like why he was better. He wasn't saying he was a better defender, but he was like, well, you know, I do get these amount of rebounds or whatever.
One time I got a steal off of Arvydas Sabonis.
Yeah. And you've never been blocked.
No, I truly.
But the story of this game, I would say, is that the Clippers transaction with the 76ers paid off big time for them in this game.
Big time.
Tobias Harris did not miss a three-pointer.
What a world.
Yeah, scored the, he got 6 of 6 from three. And I think that, you know, also, by the way, J.J. Redick had a great game.
Yeah.
Which, for as great a shooter as he is, he doesn't have that many, he doesn't have a Ray Allen CV of like, yeah, I showed up in the playoffs. I'm an assassin.
I mean, like, Ray Allen's got a Hall of Fame lock case, right? Yeah. And J.J. Redick will never be good enough to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I mean, but I was, because I was thinking about J.J. Redick, and I was like, he's never missed the playoffs, right? He's always been solid. He's been a starter for his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you look at Basketball Reference's win Hall of Fame percentage probability,
mm-hmm.
and J.J. Redick is 0.0003.
Yeah.
Right? He's just never gonna be there.
I'm just going to look at one quick thing about Ray Allen, about, you know, what he thought about being in the movie He Got Game.
Ooh.
So Ray Allen career 3-point shooting is, he was 40%.
Okay.
And he is considered like one of the greatest of all time.
Yes.
J.J. Redick career 3-point shooting.
Let me guess. 35%.
Let me just double check this before I, what'd you say? 35?
35.
Career 3-point shooting 41.3.
Oh shit. But in the playoffs it's like,
but in the playoffs it's like shoots 36%.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
And Ray Allen, just so, playoff totals.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ray Allen shoots 40% in the regular season. The playoffs he shoots 40%.
Wow.
So what I'm saying is that,
only question, what did he shoot in the NBA All-Star Weekend Old Timers 3-point contest? 0%. That's correct. 0%.
So this is my point. I know that J.J. Redick is not the full player that Ray Allen is, but as a shooter, you could argue he is as good.
Yeah.
And in the regular season, better. And he doesn't have a series of highlights of like, this is the game where he went off, and like, you know, Klay Thompson did or whatever. So definitely Ray Allen's a better player overall, but like they're comparable as shooters, except that Redick just drops by 50 points in the playoffs. Anyway, good for him for having a good game. If Tobias Harris is like fully unlocked, and this, by the way, they didn't have Embiid.
No Embiid. We barely got to that.
So if they unlock a full lineup of like Butler, Harris at his full offensive strength, Simmons, Embiid, and like J.J. Redick,
yeah,
there, they could be dangerous in ways. I would say they probably are the front runner for getting. Well, I don't know. Are they hitting the Raptors in the bracket?
Yes, they are.
Well, that'll be a great series.
Yeah.
I will say that Redick to me feels like something that should be coming off the bench. So.
We'll anyway, see.
D'Angelo had an okay game.
Yeah, I think I mean, I didn't watch this game, but the thing from the box score that stood out to me is that the Nets only had 12 assists the entire game.
Yeah, what's funny is D'Angelo was a great passer in college. And, like, I remember that he saw, I'm not saying it's his fault. However, he dominates the ball in their offense. So if he's not passing a lot, then that also, they don't have a super sharing offense.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's not good. I wanted to see okay, new contender for one of the best contracts in the league.
Boban Marjanovic.
No, Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert.
Caris LeVert is playing for $1.7 million this year.
Yeah.
And next year 2.6, and then there is a qualifying offer. But is he only like in his first contract?
Yeah, he's young.
Well, he had a good game.
Yeah. And it's just even a miracle that he's playing this season. You know, after that incredibly awkward leg injury he had.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see when we go to a game. They could be down. I mean, this series could be over soon.
Yeah.
How about that third Nuggets Spurs game? Did you want to talk about that?
We kind of talked about
it. All right. Let's talk Warriors Clippers.
Kevin Durant apocalypse. He's back, baby. So I'm wearing the Durant jersey today.
You know who he is, right? Kevin Durant.
He's Kevin Durant. I'm Kevin Durant.
You know who he is. It's funny. That quote, did you watch that interview where they asked him like what they was going on?
Yes.
I actually thought when he said, I'm Kevin Durant, y'all know who I am. You know who I am.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be an all-time trying to posture and failing quote. Because he had an insane game,
yeah.
I think it's going to be an all-time badass quote. I don't think it's particularly badass in real life.
Yeah, but actually, because he went out there and backed
it up. I feel him in that interview trying to be the killer assassin.
Yes.
And it's like, it's not really, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to be that guy, and it's tough because when you want to be something so bad, but it's really tough.
Yeah. Kevin Durant is, it's, for some reason, you know, I got this like little thread of like not liking him in game two.
Yeah.
And there is something resilient about people's distaste for him.
Yeah.
Because he is, I think he is like between, I think he's actually like between him and Giannis, maybe one of the best players in the league.
Yeah. I mean, even people that don't like him will admit that he's up there.
But right? What's amazing is like he is one of the top three players in the league. He has won two championships now, and he has like played major.
He's been 2-time Finals MVP.
Yeah,
like it's not like he's just like a nobody.
He didn't join the Warriors and ride along, and he consistently
Driving the fucking car
on the court, does badass plays that like demoralize other teams. All that put together, there's still really people that don't like him.
Yeah.
You know, like the thing that I appreciate about him is so far in his career, I have not seen him like shy away from a moment on the court. Like this was you know, he didn't have a great game too. Everyone felt like he was being passive or whatever. People were like, is Beverly in his head? And he just destroyed them.
Yeah.
Like, basically from the beginning, he just came out and shot so many mid-range jumpers and really highlighted, like, how much taller he is than Beverly. And,
yeah.
Like, really no one is bothering him.
Yeah.
Obviously he played good. I would say a couple unsung MVPs for this series so far. Andrew Bogut's playing pretty well.
Yes, he is.
And he's eaten up his minutes in a very useful way.
Yeah.
That they're going to need because Cousins isn't around. But, like, he was a number one pick, wasn't he?
Yes.
That's crazy. But he's,
for what team?
Not the Golden State Warriors?
No.
Oh.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh. Did he play there for a while?
Yeah.
Oh. I feel like he might have started a...
And who did they trade to Milwaukee for Andrew Bogut?
Who did they trade to Milwaukee for Andrew Bogut? Chris Middleton?
Monte Ellis.
Oh, and that unlocked the stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like Bogut started that thing. Was one of the first guys to do, like, I'm buying all the tickets in this section.
Yeah, he did that in Milwaukee. Yeah.
Yeah. So, unsung hero him, and Draymond is having a good series.
Draymond is. I remember checking the box score and being like, oh, Draymond's got no points. He's missed all of his shots, and they're up by 40.
Yeah. Draymond's having a good series. He's being very... Like, he's bringing a lot of what makes the team great.
Yeah.
So, I'd be encouraged about that. I still think a lot of times I don't get what's going on with Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
And it's fortunate that they don't need him to be firing on all cylinders to win, but like, I don't get sometimes what's going on with him and the fact that he's in a contract year and like, I don't know what. It's weird to me when they're like, he's a max player.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't play like it that much. But whatever, they're rolling. Now, this is what I want to say about wake-up calls. So, in a way, people are talking about, like, now you've woken the Warriors up. They're like, and there is a part of me that wants to be like, I wish the Warriors would never take their foot off the gas pedal.
Yeah.
And just, like, win games by, like, 60. However, I'll just say this now. 2-1. I think they're going to lose one of the next two games.
Oh.
Like, I don't think these wake-up calls are as real as we feel they are in the yeah. moment, especially for a team that's trying to go to the finals for the fifth year in a row.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but so it was a great game from them, but nothing really I saw that, like, still changed my opinion.
Okay.
I was wrong, pretty much wrong about Gallinari. He's not having a good series.
Yeah.
And I want to check in with you. Apparently someone thinks I'm wrong about Landry Shamet.
That's right. Shout outs to my friend Clipper fan for a long, long time, Darren Webb, who sent me a text after our last podcast and was like, Landry Shamet's arc is fine. And I think, you know, because I had stated that last podcast, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I'm not worried about it. It's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
It's not too low. And if you think it's too low, then I think you're a hater. And that's that's definitely a real thing that I think. And
wait, is that the argument of this text as well?
No, I mean, there was no argument. It was just that it's fine, right? You don't have to worry about it. It's his shot. It's fine.
No, I can worry about it. Because there is a mathematical angle for a ball to enter a hoop.
Yes.
Where it is more likely to go in than not. And anybody's shot can be improved.
Okay.
And he went 0-for-4 from three. Ooh. Small sample size supports my argument.
I don't know, man. Small sample size says that Ivica Zubac scored 18 points last night.
I know. So he's the best player in the league right now.
So in 17 minutes, that's Ivica time. He had 15 rebounds.
Yeah, I know people have their own shots, but I just mean that like it's been like proven mathematically that there's optimal angles for like shooting a ball.
Okay.
And now if people want to argue that his arc is not lower than other people's, then we can pull up video and like compare them to other people. Like that's measurable too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a different argument. So one argument is his arc is actually not lower than other players, which I definitely think it is.
Okay.
And two is it's not a problem, which is kind of unprovable.
Yeah, that's really the argument we have is that, you know.
The argument then would be like every single other great shooter in the history of the league has a higher arc than he does. And so could he be 10 percentage points better if his arc was a little higher? That's all.
Yeah, could he be 10 percentage points higher? That's, I mean, which that's would a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot of percentage points.
He's shooting very well. For the regular season, he shot 42%.
Yeah, so if he was at 52%.
Could he be shooting 52%?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
yeah.
By the way, doesn't like Joe Harris shoot something like that for the year or something? Like between him and Doug McDermott, which I was watching the Pacers game, it's amazing for like when you see theoretically like great shooters just like not shoot well. And Doug McDermott, I haven't watched enough of him, but he shoots a lot of crazy off-balance three-pointers. Like,
yeah, I mean, he's a guy who used to be the man, and now he's trying to be just a spot shooter, and it's tough.
I wonder if this is something that happens to people like him and Jimmer and Grayson.
Old Jimmer, patron saint of the Phoenix Suns.
People that are gunners.
Yeah.
There's a guy in the G League that's a gunner.
Ooh.
That shoots like 38 points a game or something. There was one team in the G League that just like changed their offensive philosophy and their philosophy was like, we're going to run. Everyone's going to get good points to like get better jobs.
Yeah.
It was a very, like you're here to build a resume. We don't care about winning games. And their offense turned out to be like incredible. I wonder if there's an adjustment for somebody like Jimmer or Doug is he McBuckets?
Dougie
McBuckets.
Yeah.
That,
Josh McBuckets.
McLove Buckets,
that's his name.
That when they get to the league, they have to be a little more, I have to run around the screen and shoot it at full speed because I don't get the like space to set up and shoot the way I did at the previous level.
Yeah.
So like you're basically, I wonder if like three shots a game are taken away from them where they just get to like set up calmly and take a shot.
Yeah.
And then somebody like me watches and it was like, wow, man, they're playing really wild. But it's actually just like, oh, I'm at a different level of competition.
Yeah.
Okay. One last thing about Clippers Warriors. Because I bet the Clippers will win one more game, but it's not going to be a serious, they're not going to.
So it's going to be 4-2 Warriors at the end of it all.
Yeah, probably. Which is certainly longer than the Warriors want it to be.
Yeah.
Although, no, they can't delay it long enough till the Cousins come back.
No, because the dates are all set for the times when things start.
I mean, there's a world where Cousins going out actually just lets the Warriors revert back to the way they played last year.
Yeah, or at the beginning of the season.
And destroy everyone that way. Now, this is the only thing I would say about the Warriors and their mental approach. I wish and I hope somebody like Iguodala or Bogut or Draymond would probably start a fight. Stands up in the locker room and says, Kevin, you cannot get any more technicals. Like, I know that you, there's this weird little ego game going on with Kevin Durant and the rest of the team, with the Clippers.
Yeah.
Where it's just very important for him to show that he is just smiling all the time and just winning and like enjoying himself, and he'll talk to anybody. And I know that the technical was rescinded.
Yeah.
But like he, before it was rescinded, he had 3 technical fouls in 3 games.
Yeah.
And after 7, he gets suspended. And like, he needs to not engage in that bullshit.
Well, okay, but what if, now hear me out, Galaxy, what if he gets all 7 in this series and he gets suspended for the last game of the series, they win, then he doesn't get any more.
Is that true?
He just doesn't get any more technicals. Like, he does it after the series.
I thought you were saying like reset.
Oh, yeah, no, it does not reset.
So wait, you get 7 and you get suspended for a game.
Yeah, and then on your 8th you don't, but on your 9th you do.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, what if he just gets all 7 out of the way quick and then we're playing the game all postseason?
You could argue if he gets to 6,
yeah,
that he should take a 7th, yeah, wasted in this series, yeah, so that he's at least back to, I can get 1. That you could argue that. But I would argue, don't get involved with players that are not, like, it doesn't, you don't need to get technical against Patrick Beverley or Jermichael Green.
Yeah.
Anyway,
what if we set up like a system where players could trade in their points for technical foul rescinding? Like the Warriors won by 30 points here. What if they instead won by 1 point and they got to trade in 29 of those points towards?
I would
get like 100 points is what you have to trade.
I would support this if they could trade in Marlboro points.
Okay. I got so many Marlboro points.
My brother had so many. And back in the day, Pepsi points or like My Coke rewards,
yeah,
they used to give pretty good stuff.
Yeah,
now they don't.
Got some friends who've got some Mountain Dew gear from there.
The time that they changed to you trade in your points and you get 1 entry in this auction for a raffle for an Xbox.
Yeah, that's sucks. When all that sucks. I hate it because nobody ever wins those things. No one's ever won anything from that. If you've won something from that,
bullshit,
shout us out at ruleofthreespodcast@gmail.com.
Did you get another text as well? Or same text, different topic?
No. Oh, yeah, sorry. Same text, different topic. He wanted to add Larry Bird to the player-coach system, and he actually had a bit of an argument for that.
Ah.
He believed Larry Bird was a fantastic coach. He took a mediocre Pacers team to the finals, won coach of the year his first year, took Jordan's Bulls to 7 games. Pretty good.
Well, I stand down.
Yeah. All right. Great. Larry Bird. You heard it here first. We got word about Larry Bird.
The only thing I'll say is that coach of the year award doesn't mean that much.
What? Last year's coach of the year got
fired. I actually think the history of coaches of the year getting fired is pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, because they're a coach and they'll get fired.
Right. So,
and they won't be as good as they were that year they won coach of the year.
But you're
paying for future performance.
They get fired. There's a history of them getting fired that year.
Yeah.
Because
I don't want to deal with some big shot ego coach. I want somebody who's young and hungry and wants to prove it.
Right. Like the ones I was saying to get from the NCAA.
Exactly.
Lakers are having a meeting with Tyronn Lue today or tomorrow.
Great. Cool. Great. Where are they having it? At Cafe Gratitude?
I hope they're having it at...
What about like player, coach, executive all time? Like Magic Johnson, you know, like best player, best coach at 20 games.
Like the matrix of each one? He wasn't good enough at coach.
And he wasn't good enough as executive. I remember him
just getting mad that people had cell phones in the locker room.
How dare these people have cell phones in the locker room? When I was playing, we used to set up orgies by carrier pigeon.
That's right. Well, I would have a telegram to the lady in the third row.
I would tell Cookie to go give her a message.
Yeah. So I think we're caught up.
Yeah, we are caught up.
What do we got tonight?
We got some game 3s tonight. We got another Orlando Magic Raptors game, got another Pacers Celtics game, and a Blazers Thunder game. So I'm headed out to Culver City tonight to watch some games.
This is going to be in OKC.
This is the game to turn this series back into a series. If they lose this game, it's done.
I don't know why I dislike the Thunder so much.
Is it the jerseys?
No. I actually like the aesthetics of the team, and I appreciate that it's a small town. Like, I like the fan base. Like,
is it Chesapeake Energy?
I mean, it could be that I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. It's Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, it is. But there's just something. There's something very enjoyable about watching him lose.
Yeah.
And also, oh, you know, I think a genuinely minor factor is that Paul George like chose to go stay there instead of going to the Lakers. Yeah,
without even taking a meeting. Come on, man. Are we that bad?
But there's a thing of like, if they go out of the series 4-1. Like,
I think you got to fire Billy Donovan.
You got to fire Billy Donovan,
which sucks.
And yeah, I don't know. There's something about, and also interviews that I've seen with Sam Presti, and I don't like either.
Fire Raymond Felton.
Yeah,
into the sun.
Oh, by the way, why did the Trailblazers fans hate him so much?
Because when he was there, he was quote unquote fat.
Oh, is he not fat anymore?
I mean, that's why I said quote unquote.
Yeah,
he's just Raymond Felton.
Tyreke Evans looking a little fat. Like sometimes you can't tell the difference between Tyreke Evans and Wes Matthews on the court for the Pacers.
But that doesn't. Tyreke Evans always been a bigger dude,
right? But something about he just looks like an older vet a little bit.
Got it.
But
do you know why? Because he's an older vet.
Yeah,
this is like his eighth year in the league.
When he first was in, he was a lithe young man.
No, he wasn't. He was a bigger point guard.
Yeah. But he was like a, I remember his play style was very, felt like the way Grant Hill would get to the rim.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like Khalid Elamy. Believe me, when Tyreke Evans came into the league, he was not on my radar. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Can't wait for this Thunder's Blazers game.
Yeah.
We'll probably come back over the weekend with another episode. I mean, that will be fun. Talking about that series, I'd say the series most fun to talk. You have most of the fun series to talk about.
I'm a fun guy
because that series is fun to talk about. Nuggets Spurs will have some development one way or the other over the weekend.
Yeah.
Bucks Pistons is whatever. Jazz Rockets might be basically over.
Yeah.
Like the Sixers Nets series hasn't been that fun to talk about.
No,
really.
I mean, it's chippy, but
it's chippy in a way that's like. Brooklyn's not really going to win.
Yeah.
Like, so. So, yeah, you've got all the fun stuff to talk about. I enjoy talking about Warriors Clippers since the Clippers are my second team.
Yeah.
But. By the way, Lou Williams didn't have quite the game. Lou Williams, by the way, reminds me of Jason Terry.
Oh.
He has those, like, fadeaway diagonal jumpers that are. That with the best defenders in the world, they cannot get a hand on those shots.
Yeah.
And it must be so frustrating.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was a good weekend of basketball.
Yes, it was.
Or a good week of basketball.
You're going to just lose your shit.
Oh, boy. Something just happened?
No. Tyreke Evans and Wes Matthews were drafted the same year.
Wow.
Yeah. And, well, Wes Matthews was undrafted, but they were both in the 2009 NBA draft.
What did you say? 2009?
2009.
I wonder if they published combine results back in the day.
Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh, NBA draft combine 2009.
Wow.
Measurements. Tyreke Evans, 6'5", weighed 220.
Okay.
Whereas, I hope Wes Matthews is on this. He's probably not. Well, he wasn't high enough. He might not have been invited to the combine.
Yeah, maybe not.
Who else is 6'5" in this list? Who the hell is Jeff Adrian from UConn?
Jeff Adrian!
I guess that is stocky for a player. Because everybody else is like taller than Tyreke Evans and way less than Tyreke Evans. Except for DeJuan Summers, who's a beast.
Beast.
And Hasheem Thabeet.
Aww.
Still in the league?
No.
I don't know.
Jesus. Hasheem Thabeet was out of the league before his rookie contract was over, basically.
People thought he was going to be
a project that
would be really good.
Right? And he was not.
That's too bad. Honestly, if you're 7'2" and you go to league and you don't make it in league, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That former NBA player has a rough life.
Yeah.
Casey, you have any shows coming up this weekend?
I do. Tonight I am in the All 77 Avengers do a mono scene. For the promotion for Avengers Endgame. Get your tickets to see Avengers Endgame.
What's good is that this is what's going to take that movie over the top.
Yes, they really needed this very real mono scene with all the characters from the movie. I will reveal what part I am playing on the podcast on Monday and tell you guys how it went over.
Ooh.
Because it's a very secretive part. We don't know. Did I get snapped? Did I not get snapped? You know, who knows? Spoilers.
Yeah. That's what that should be. If Thanos released an app, it would be called Snapchat.
Snapchat.
I'm in Baby Wants Candy tonight, I think.
Ooh.
I haven't got my email confirmation. If we'll see. You go and I'm not there, it's not my fault.
Hey, well, you tell Al to get his emails out earlier.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got for the weekend, and then we'll be back after we got some more games under our
belt.
That's
right.
Playoffs are good so far.
They are. I like it. A little disappointed in some teams, a little excited about some teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just send us some notes. We'd love to talk with you.
Yeah. Somebody do a video analysis of Landry Shamet's. By the way, I didn't realize he was acquired.
Yeah. From
he was drafted. Yeah.
The 76ers.
Do an analysis and get back to us by the weekend.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.